This is the Dudes in Christ podcast.
What's going on? Another episode of the Dudes in Christ podcast coming at you another bright and sunny Sunday morning. Glad to see this weather is changing. Yes. It's finally starting to make a change with no looking back, right? That's what we're going for.
Spring, finally.
No going back.
Hopefully.
But it did feel a lot like there was a change yesterday. You can actually, when it hits those 80s, you're like, oh, okay, it should be here to stay. Knock on plastic here. Yeah. Anyway, I hope everybody out there is having a great week. Hopefully, as spring comes on, it seems like a motivational time. You get out of that dreary winter weather. The allergies are hopefully starting to dissipate a little bit. The sun's shining. It's warm. Spring cleaning might be happening. So I just encourage you. In this moment, take advantage of it. It's kind of weird how a lot of times our mood will dictate by weather. if it's gloomy outside, somehow
nap day.
Yeah. So the sun is shining, and also the sun, Jesus Christ, is also shining in our lives, and I'm hoping it's in yours as well. Man, as we go through, we made it through 1 Thessalonians. Going to jump into 2 Thessalonians. This is it's pretty close to a continuation of 1 Thessalonians. As Josh mentioned earlier in 1 Thessalonians, it's possible that 2 Thessalonians was even written first. Either way, they're both written pretty close to the same time. I believe both will say probably AD 51, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it says 50-51 on first and 51-52 on second. So like you say,
yeah,
right?
They're pretty close. In a lot of cases in this 2 Thessalonians, some of it is review. Paul saying, hey, do you remember me telling you this? This just happened.
Right.
And then also that, of course, the false teachers, why he's repeating himself almost, is the false teachers are going out and spreading false doctrine. They're going out. I heard one, this is the first time I heard it in a quick study I was doing this morning, is that those false teachers actually wrote a letter and signed it as Paul.
Yeah.
Right.
And to conflict them and saying that they did miss the coming of the Lord Jesus and things like that. And
so that's what the false teaching was over, is that the coming of Jesus already happened, or the second coming.
Yeah. And so a lot of this is dictating this. And when we go through, especially this first chapter and really through this whole book, a lot of it to me, as I read it, is feel like, man, we're just really beating a dead horse when we're talking about this, but it's so prevalent, that it's so consistent with, the things that has happened. And so, as we get into it, even the title here on the Passion Translation for 2 Thessalonians is Living in the Last Days. And so a lot of people now, equate this chapter to be dedicated to the last days, the final days of history, of not of this. And so something that we've said many times is, when it's talking about the last days, what is it talking about? Is it talking about the last days of eternity? Is it talking about the last days of the old covenant? Is it talking about the last days to a group of people that are getting ready to see a big change in how they go about life? And so that same, I'll remind you that same thought or the same question you need to ask when you're going through the context of the word. And so, anybody else want to set anything up before we start reading?
No.
Josh, you want to read that NLT?
Yeah. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the church of Thessalonica, to you who belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God our Father and the Lord of Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness and all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering, and God will use this persecution to show his justice and to make you worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. In his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you. And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. When he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people, praise from all who believe. And this includes you, for you believed what we told you about him. So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of the Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our Lord God and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yep.
So we have a fairly short chapter here, but going through it, there's a few powerful things that come out. I mean, all of it's powerful, but you see a few notations as we just jump back up. I'll go back to verse 3, and we'll just kind of chop this back up. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. And so just imagine, it's kind of, I like this book for one. Obviously, they're going through tribulation. They're going through things. But also, you know, you see a lot of times, like in the book of Revelation, how he's going and correcting things. But a lot of times in this book to the Thessalonians, we see that he's really encouraged by their love that they have for one another.
Right.
Amidst trouble, amidst things and trials, amidst the false teachers trying to negate really the first words or the first letter that Paul wrote, they're still going on through and loving each other, which is pretty... It's pretty awesome to see because we're called to be that brother and sister in times of trouble. And so it's just neat. A lot of times Paul comes with the left and the right hook of correction, but a lot of his emotions in this one, he's really just proud of them. And it says there in verse 4, we proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness and in all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. And God will use this persecution to show his justice and to make you worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. In his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you. And so going through, you know, back to that question as living in the last days, back to that question of this judgment coming, who's this judgment falling on and why is it falling? And so it comes back and there's, even in the First Thessalonians, we've seen this over and over and again, and it's really continuing. So we proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithful and all the persecution and hardship you personally, you Thessalonians, you are suffering. Verse 5, and God will use this persecution, which persecution? That persecution on the Thessalonians to show his justice and to make you worthy of his kingdom for what you are suffering. It's a current suffering that they had right now, or right then, I should say. In his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you. It's not talking about repaying those who are persecuting us now, but it's those who were persecuting then. And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished for eternal destruction, with eternal destruction forever, and separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. And so you see this urge or this call for living in their last days is exactly
absolutely
their last days. And like I said, it kind of feels like I hate when somebody's trying to get a point across, they say it 8,000 times, but it just happens to be that way as we're going through the scripture.
Exactly.
You know, we mentioned after the Revelation study that I think thought it was a good idea to go into 1st and 2nd Thessalonians because they talk about a lot of the same thing. And so in the light of what we learned, it made sense to go through and kind of see what this says, because be honestly, before
I had a note that goes back to Acts 17, where Paul preaches in Thessalonica, Acts 17:1-9, it says Paul and Silas then traveled through the towns of Amphipolis and Apollonia, and came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was Paul's custom, he went to the synagogue service, and for three Sabbaths in a row, he used the scriptures to reason with the people. He explained the prophecies and proved that the Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead. He said, "This Jesus I'm telling you about is the Messiah." Some of the Jews who listened were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with many God-fearing Greek men and quite a few prominent women. But some of the other Jews were jealous, so they gathered some troublemakers from the marketplace to form a mob and start a riot. They attacked the home of Jason, searching for Paul and Silas so they could drag them out to the crowd. Not finding them there, they dragged out Jason and some of the other believers instead and took them before the city council. "Paul and Silas have caused trouble all over the world," they shouted. "And now they are here disturbing our city too. And Jason has welcomed them into his home. They are all guilty of treason against Caesar, for they profess allegiance to another king named Jesus." The people of the city, as well as the city council, were thrown into turmoil by these reports, so the officials forced Jason and the other believers to post bond, and then they released them. So that's what Paul was going through in Thessalonica alone, and then writes, I guess after this, he writes back to them for the things that they're doing.
Yeah, they were, you know, all people were getting hit for following Jesus Christ in all ways, leaders and congregationally. And there's pressure, you know, that brings pressure to those that could possibly be weak in faith to be persuaded. But back to what we talked about earlier, that Paul was encouraged by their love.
Yeah.
So just think of the impact your congregation and the people you dwell with, think of the impact that they have on your lives that are weak, you know, that those are struggling. They have a group or a congregation of people that they can fall on, you know, when, hey, I'm getting persecuted, or I'm getting pressured.
Yeah.
You know, possibly would be more of a current term we can use, because a lot of us aren't getting persecuted for believing the way we do, but maybe we're getting pressured, or we're getting questioned, like, what if your God is even real? Why are you, you know, why is this happening? And so I believe going and being a part of a Bible believing, a Bible teaching church can really help you get through those hard times, those weak times, those times of question. And really, those times that you're going through it, you know, we all see it. And if it's through the love of the congregation you dwell with, it's a lot easier to make it through those storms.
Yeah. And just by with him telling them, no, he's telling the other churches about their love for one another. Your love is being Jesus, being like Jesus. You know, and we see that in today's church too, also. And just being out in the world in general, or in the public, just being a loving person, showing Jesus without saying anything, has a big impact on a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. Jumping back to 2 Thessalonians, I believe we'll pick up at verse 7. "And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, And also for us, like Josh mentioned, talking about Paul, Silas, those that are writing this. For us, when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven, he will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with eternal destruction forever, separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. When he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people, praise from all who believe, and this includes you, for you believed what we told you about him.
So in other words, Paul was saying to them basically that they're going to be around when he comes, yeah, in flaming judgment and punishment. So again, this reverts back to, you know, AD 66 to 70 in that time frame.
Yeah, and we mentioned that, and I think that's important to see how this is kind of the language is using. It's showing that the Lord Jesus will appear,
right,
bringing judgment.
Right.
It's not that he's coming and dwelling on earth physically in this time,
right?
But there's an appearing, and then he will bring judgment. And if you remember, if you haven't gone through our Revelation series, you need to go through it, because we talked about all those judgments it speaks about in Revelation, you know, where the Rome and Israel are going through this, you know, this battle, and talks about all the Roman armies coming in, you know, flooding. It's like locusts, you know, it's like many marching, and, you know, all the death totalities and things like that. So I encourage you to go back and study on some of that yourself, and it'll make it makes these things like this so much it makes this really like a softball pitch, you know, a little lob to hit, because if we many times have, as I would manage to say, we've probably already even done it, gone to the text without knowing that history, and some of it's you just automatically negate to your life. And I think that's how we do a lot of Bible. You know, if we don't, right, understand the context, right, of it, we're, right, like, okay, this is has to be mean me and my situation now. There's time and place for that, but if we're going to look at the context of what,
right,
Paul is writing about, it's about that persecution they are enduring, and that judgment is about to come,
right,
upon that generation.
Absolutely.
If you will.
Absolutely. And, you know, Joel chapter 2, and I know I allude to this a lot. I think I mentioned it even last time, but 2 and 11 says, "The Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, and he is strong that executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?" So, you know, when you understand that it's the Lord that's bringing this judgment, and he's heading that army up for those to be punished with everlasting destruction in the presence of the Lord from the glory of his power. Back, of course, to our text. And he's going to come to be glorified in the saints, and he did, and to be admired of all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So
yeah,
if they believed, they were, you know.
Finish it out here, verse 11. "So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our Lord, of our God and Lord Jesus Christ." And so I think that that verse 12, something I got highlighted, "then the name of the Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him."
Yeah.
If you guys know kind of how I biased my belief or my thing is, I'm very anti-legalism. I'm very anti doing things in your own power, if you will. But there's a call to the way you live. And that even goes back to the way you live, you being a believer, being led by the Spirit. It's not that the way you live in your own, but it's being able to fall and let the Holy Spirit guide your life. And in doing so, it will honor Jesus, and you'll be honored along with him, it says. So.
Absolutely.
Short and sweet. Josh, you got anything?
No.
It's very short, and it's kind of like a summary almost of the things that we've been talking about. So it made sense coming, what's this? How many? There's only like three chapters on this one. So
next one's pretty good.
So it's short and direct, which is neat. It's neat.
Next one's kind of going to be, I guess, explaining and telling what it'll be like, or the signs of the time that's coming, which they're 20 years out, roughly, less than 20 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Coming soon.
Yeah.
Soon coming, as the book of Revelation says. All right. Man, I enjoyed it. Going through, we have another fun. We got a fun-filled day here at the United Voices of Zion. Got Terry Tripp coming in, and it's always fun having him. He always brings an insight that is non-fundamental. I don't know if that's a right word. It's non-religious,
maybe.
Yeah. So it's. It's not that it's going against the grain, but it opens the light to correcting a lot of things that we've been taught that may not have been biblical in the sense, or it may not have been contextual. You know, maybe it was biblical, but it was out of context, and that's a lot of what we like to talk about here is because religion is what hung Jesus on the cross.
All right.
You know, and that's we never want to have that Pharisaical type spirit to where it's law and then it's manipulated.
Right.
Law is manipulated
by man.
So that's,
I believe today's message is going to be like grace on steroids, right? I think it's what he posted.
Yeah. He's
all right.
I think going to be coming from his new book, Grace on Steroids, and so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
An interesting interesting day for sure.
Absolutely. Those listening, we will check you guys back next week going through chapter 2. Y'all have a good week.